Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have as my guest Penny Pierce, and we'll be speaking about her new book, Leap of Perception, The Transforming Power of Your Attention. Penny has been on the show before, and with one of her previous books, Frequency, and today we're going to go into the next segment of this exploration, which is basically a study of perception and where that might lead us. Thanks for joining us, Penny. Where are you calling in from?
I'm in Florida now. I just moved here from Northern California.
Well, great. I know that you were guided to change your residence. Is that correct?
Yes. It's like my left brain did not go along with the whole show, but my body was coming here. So I just followed that, and we'll see why. I have no idea yet what it's all about.
Well, it is interesting that different, I guess, impressions and different ways that your attention is directed then can turn into guidance. And I think that is happening more and more to all of us. And that may have been what happened to you in your change, and that led to your change in where you're living.
Yes. I think, you know, sometimes the guidance comes in odd ways. It's not always verbal.
Right.
Sometimes it comes from the so-called outside world. And I'm beginning now to see that there is no outside world. It's more like all part of my field, because now we're energy beings. So that if an event happens in the world, it's really something in me that's happening. It's a sign, you know, for something that I'm doing in my inner world. So I always try and find the correlation between those two things, like an event and a thought, you know, or if I have a thought, an event will soon follow. Somehow they're very connected these days. So
I had a story about that I use as an example. A friend of mine wanted to borrow money, but it seemed to me that she was always taking vacations and not really working very much. And so I asked for a sign from the universe whether or not I should lend her money. And I was watching Saturday Night Live, and a guy comes on Saturday Night Live with one of those cardboard signs that says, "I have spent all my money. Give me some of yours." So I called her up and told her I wasn't going to lend her money, and I've never seen her since. So you can ask for a sign, and you can actually get it.
and the universe has a good sense of humor, too.
It is hilarious, actually. Well, let's start off talking about the two viewpoints that you start at the beginning of the book, which is linear perception, which I think we're all aware of because we, you know, we grew up living in linear perception, most of us anyway, versus a spherical holographic perception. Mm-hmm. And I think this is kind of the center of the book, understanding these two types of perception and why a spherical holographic perception is going to be more useful to us in the new world we're moving into.
Yes. I came to this, though, originally because I've been really looking at the whole idea of transformation and what is that, and everybody's talking about the shift and all these things, and I want to know what is it, you know, and what does it feel like, and how does it happen, and what, you know, let's go down and figure this thing out. Mm-hmm. And in Frequency, I outlined like 9 stages in a transformation process, which kind of led me into this whole idea that really what it's all about is that our perception is going to change radically, and when that happens, reality changes based on the perception you have. And also your own identity changes. You see yourself as a different kind of person or human being, and you understand that reality functions by different rules, and so do you. And that's what I think is basically happening. And I think that I've been calling it old perception and new perception, just to simplify it. But, you know, old perception is based on the idea that we're separate from each other, that there is this outside world that's separate from us. And you have to use willpower to cross that empty space in between people or to get to your goal, which is projected into the future, you know. Mm-hmm. And that is linear, if you think about it. Everything that we know is along lines. We have storylines and plot lines. You know, we have the shortest distance between two points, and you know, timelines for past, present, future. So we're used to that. We're comfortable with that. But it slows down the amount of energy that can flow. In other words, if you think that there's an empty space between you and your goal, and you have to do all these clever things to cross that empty space, Right. Then that's going to take a lot of time.
Right.
And it's gradual. It's like cause and effect thinking. I do this, then mm-hmm. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening now, because the planet is accelerating, I believe, and I think there's been some scientific proof that it is, that because the planet's vibration is increasing, our body's vibrations are increasing, and that means our mind vibration is increasing,
mm-hmm.
and things are getting faster and faster. And really what's happening is that everything's kind of coming into a vast present moment. There is no projection to a future anymore or a past anymore, because those things are now swallowed up in this big present moment. So in other words, a way to think about that is that the future is like a higher frequency of your present moment reality. And if you could just shift your vibration to that and be in that, you'd have it now. It wouldn't take a long process of gradual accomplishment. You would move right into it, and the physical circumstances would adjust to make that real. So everything exists in your huge field of your present moment, and nothing is outside of you. And when you start to get that everything's so unified all at once in the present moment, you shift into a spherical kind of basis for reality. And I call it a geometry of perception. You know, so that everything is inside a big ball of reality around you, which is spherical.
Mm-hmm.
And it's different than having lines, because what you have instead are points everywhere, like particles floating in space everywhere, and each one of them is a reality. And all you have to do is put attention on one, and it comes alive. And it's immediate. So it's like the world is going to function very, very differently as we all get into this new perception. I don't know if that's kind of a lot of stuff to explain, but I don't know if that makes sense or not to you.
Well, it does make sense. I think that in order to really understand it, though, you have to experience it. And that's something that not everybody has experienced yet, but I think most people are experiencing the early stages of it, like just thinking how quickly last week went by compared to, you know, a week when you're sick or recovering from surgery in the past,
indeed,
where it went by very slowly, you know. So
mm-hmm.
The time distortion is definitely, I mean, we were in surgery for, I don't know, I think about 11 or 12 hours yesterday. And I ask everybody in the room, anesthesia, the tech, the nurse, me, if they thought the week went by fast. And every one of them said, yes, it went by incredibly fast.
Mm-hmm.
So
my favorite phrase now is, it's Friday again.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's like, it's
true.
Friday again. How did that happen?
Yeah.
No, is one of the easiest ways for people to start to sense this change.
Right.
But it's like, the other thing is the amount of time it takes for a thought to materialize.
Mm-hmm.
Like you just think
true.
It and it happens to you. Or you yell at somebody who went through a stop sign and then you go through the stop sign on the next one.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's like
instant repercussions. And things just come through almost right away. You say you're interested in something, and then someone calls and has an offer for you about it. It's like unbelievable. So these are signs of what's going on, you know. But I think we're starting to see that, and I think this is a part of the transformation, is that we're moving from the information age, which, you know, previous to that we had the industrial age, which was very physical and body-oriented and very slow, mechanical.
Right.
Now we've moved to the information age, and that's accelerated to a point at this time, you know, with the internet and everything, that we have so much data, so many bits and bytes of data, that you cannot process it in a linear way anymore.
That's correct.
It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
And and it's just reached the end of its functionality. So that I think we're having to shift into a way of understanding and knowing and processing that's kind of like an all-at-once impressionability.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't try to isolate all the different facts and put them in a line and prove mm-hmm. them and say that it's logical, because it's way too slow. And so now what we have is, like, you relax, you move into your right brain out mm-hmm. of your left brain. And you let go, and you say, okay, what do I need to know? And you get a big impression of a huge pattern of information, and mm-hmm. and then you let it gently filter through and up into the left brain and start making some sense.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't do it all controlled by the left brain anymore.
I think an example would be the old linear way is to read every email you get completely. Well, that would
yes.
be possible.
Yeah.
And the other way is to just filter very quickly through, and then if something jumps out at you, to go ahead and
yes.
read it more carefully. And I know I find myself doing that. You know, sometimes you keep getting drawn back to a particular email, and yet there's something very important in it, in the body of it, that isn't in the title.
That's
and
right.
If I just
so
read the title
is,
linearly, I would miss it. That's right.
You would.
Yeah.
Plus, that's intuition functioning, see, and that's
it
a
is,
right
yeah.
brain thing. And,
right.
you know, sometimes you will stall on doing a certain task, and it's probably because it's not ready to happen yet, often.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
yeah, that's true.
You put it, you say, well, not right now, and then, you know, suddenly, yes, right now, and you realize,
yeah.
oh, some missing information came through in the time
mm-hmm.
between, or anyway, it's a kind of a relationship with the flow that
mm-hmm.
that we have an appreciation of the fact that processes have their own wisdom, and they need to happen in a certain sequence. And if they slow down, there's a good reason.
Right.
And if you, for instance, perceive having a problem, you have stopped the flow at that
mm-hmm.
particular point in the flow to look at it carefully.
Mm-hmm.
There's something in that particular part of the flow that you need to understand better. And so, but we call it a problem,
mm-hmm.
you know, instead of some data that we want to understand. And if you let the flow go where it wants to go, it'll solve the problem for you.
Right.
You know, so
yeah, you have to have trust in the system, too. I mean,
yeah.
the system, you explain the system in your book. It's not, you know, just random events and an unorganized system that we have to put order into individually with willpower. I mean,
right.
the system itself has a great intelligence, and allowing it to flow through you is really what's happening.
Yes. Yeah, because you're part of it, you know, and it will come to you, and it will give you ideas. That's the collective
mm-hmm.
consciousness of all beings, you know, is the flow. And it's
right.
constantly evolving. You know, so if you just relax and realize you're part of it, then whatever you need will be given to you from everyone, so that it's just right for you to have a thought of doing a particular kind of research or surgery. And it's once you do it, then you give it back to everybody, and it's what they needed.
Mm-hmm. That's
you know,
right.
and you had fun doing it because it was just right for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and if you, I think now, if we act like postpone ourselves or have self-sacrifice or false humility or something, it's not in service to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like we need to be our best selves. We need to welcome all the new ideas and challenges and creations and let them come through us and change us and then give them out, because that helps everybody else.
And there are signs that you have when you're in this flow, when you're really, I guess, comfortable with the energy flowing through you. You may have, you know, experienced this yourself. Every light you come to is green. You know, every... I know it's
yeah.
true. I mean, you effortlessly, even though it's very busy, slide into a parking space right next to the door of where you're going,
mm-hmm.
whereas other people are circling. You are you know, you think about somebody and then they call you right then rather than you having to track them down through a time-consuming process. You know, it's yeah. it's just, you know, when you're in the flow of this consciousness energy, I guess you call it a spherical holographic perception, you know when you're in it because there's signs.
Yes. Yeah. And it's like just what you need right when you need it. And
right.
And
yeah.
If you have a little bit of a snag, like we were saying before, there's a reason for that.
There's a reason for it, somebody
else isn't quite ready. You're missing mm-hmm. a piece of information. You know, there's something better coming, but your mind was mm-hmm. too anxious and thought it was this one, you know. And
right.
But the flow is trying to help you,
mm-hmm.
you know. And you start to learn to work with it and trust it totally. And plus you trust, I call it working with your inner perceiver. It's just a
mm-hmm.
function of your own mind that reveals to you. It helps you notice what you notice, you know. And each person has a different way of noticing things in different sequences to make life meaningful to themselves in the way they need it. So I trust mine that I will notice what I need to notice to either be on time or to, you know, whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, to be in the flow. And that is a very important practice, I think. It's a sort of mindfulness.
Mm-hmm.
But you stay in the present moment. And you say, okay, what am I noticing now? Or
right.
why am I noticing this? Is there a message I'm trying to get through to myself?
And
yeah.
one of the important things that you mentioned in the book is that in order to stay in this state, you need to have a relaxed mind that is open to perceptions and impressions, rather than a mind that is concentrating on, you know, the past or fear-based thinking or the monkey mind,
yes.
you know.
Yes.
So to stay in this, you need the meditative mind.
Yes, and you can also talk about it as left brain and right brain in the beginning
mm-hmm.
because I think that we are so addicted to left brain perception in Western culture. You know, it's like analytical, logical, step-by-step, gradual thinking. Or
mm-hmm.
the ego, you know, too much left brain turns into ego, where you
right.
then have to control the world and have everything match you, and, you know, you can't allow surprises because they might be dangerous, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, it just gets into that really tight, tight, contracted kind of perception, which limits us. We're, you know, we're caught up in beliefs that
mm-hmm.
won't change, that can't adapt. And it's so important now to be flexible and fluid, to be in that flow.
Mm-hmm.
But to do that, you have to soften, get in the present moment, move out of thinking you have to do anything. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's the left brain. There's always an agenda. You have to change things and do things and be strong and clever. But in the right brain, you can just be with things the way they are. And that's maybe the first step, is just let it be with it as it is,
mm-hmm.
give it space to be, and then you give yourself space to be. And
right.
then you can start to have some clear perceptions flowing into that open space that you've just created.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because you're not in a hurry. And that's
yeah.
so important. And the right brain then, of course, remember, it doesn't have language. You know, it
mm-hmm.
has direct impressions, like an
mm-hmm.
animal. It just gets waves of information. I've been
mm-hmm.
calling it energy information these days, because
mm-hmm.
we're picking up a lot of information empathically right through our body, right from energy, right
yeah.
through the vibration. And we have to remember that we are doing that now, and that we need to learn how to decipher it. Saying,
yeah, I mean,
oh,
imagine... I'm sorry. Imagine when we're all telepathic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that information is coming in simultaneously from all directions at a speed
Absolutely.
That you couldn't possibly linearly interpret it.
That's right. And it'll be very efficient when that happens. You know,
right.
there won't be a lot of wasted doubt and things like that, where we have to repeat things three times in order to get it.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be just right then. You know, it'll be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And we're, of course, as soon as you acknowledge the fact that we are telepathic, you know, we read each other all the time. You know,
mm-hmm.
you know about spaces you walk into. You know, almost immediately your body knows how healthy another person's body is. All those things.
Mm-hmm.
we just need to acknowledge that, of course, I know a lot about these things. So then what am I noticing? And start to make a habit of bringing those subliminal pieces of insight up into the conscious mind, you know, and not just gloss over them.
Yeah, and we also know a lot about what's going on in our bodies. You know, we know, I listen very carefully to my patients who say that they don't like something. You know, they don't like a spot on their skin, or they don't like something that, you know, you need to investigate that, because, you know, they're very intuitive, and if they don't like something, even though you might not think it's anything, if you biopsy it, maybe cancerous or precancerous, you know. You need to listen to them. You know, you don't just say, oh, I don't see it, and then dismiss them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so important.
That's actually the key, though, to the cost in healthcare, is to get everybody to an intuitive state where they get into, you know, get things fixed, or either, I'm not saying it's just traditional medicine, but even to healers and other non-traditional medicine, you know, when it's still just solidifying in the body and not there, you know, is an end-stage cancer or end-stage heart disease, you know, something where it's just in the beginning where you can shift it back.
I've often talked, when I was especially doing intuition training, about paying attention to a state of deep comfort. Not superficial comfort where you can get away with things or tell the white lies and avoid, you know, that kind of discomfort, but deep, deep comfort. And when you start to make a priority of staying in what I called your home frequency before, you know, that state of, it's almost like the soul in the body, where you're feeling really good about yourself. You love yourself. You're like a kid full of themselves. If you make a priority of staying in that state, and every time you get out of it, you say, well, I don't really like this state. I think I'll go back to the one I prefer. And you do that again and again and build a habit. At that point, then, when something goes off in the body, you can start to feel the disharmony of it. And that is a subtle version of the misalignment with your home frequency. And then you'll start to notice it faster. And then we should, you know, really change healthcare.
Yeah, I think it will. And I think it'll be a lot less expensive and a lot less wasteful and a lot less unethical. I mean, there's a lot of real unethical stuff with healthcare right now. It really is. And wasteful. So.
Yes. Yeah. Well, this new intuition age that's coming after the information age, you know, it's going to be amazing. I'm so excited about it, really. You know, and of course, it does mean that we have to, you know, radically change a lot of the things we take for granted. I think, like you're just saying, healthcare, marriage, politics, I mean, anything you can think of will probably shift into a reinvention of itself at a higher level.
Right.
It's like, you know, I remember once somebody, I was doing a hypnosis session, I was being the hypnosis person that was being hypnotized, and the woman said, well, just go into a feeling of love. And I was like, I was already way beyond her. I was in a state where love meant kind of the perfect fit of everything in the universe, and it was just like amazingly fantastic, but it was not emotional at all. And I could feel her. She was in a state of kind of the mushy-gushy emotional love. And I thought, huh, this is love at different frequencies. You know, so everything is like that. It's going to be, you know, government at different frequencies, health at different frequencies. And it'll be so interesting, I think, to rediscover things at their higher octave.
Yeah, well, you'll have to take, you know, control and the more negative, I guess, intentions out of each of the institutions, you know,
the fear
and the, I guess, the conflict. I mean, look at what's going on right now in the government. The total inability to work together for a common good. I mean, it's just, it's so, the, it, it's at its worst. And I wonder if things have to get at their very worst in order for the shift to occur. It seems like it might have to do that. I don't know.
It may, but I think what I sense is happening is that there's a kind of bifurcation of these two perceptual systems.
Mm-hmm.
So the old perception is the kind where we do believe in separation, and that, of course, creates conflict between
mm-hmm.
oppositions
and
right. the and control, needing to control things. Whereas
mm-hmm.
a lot of people are really waking up to a more the new perception reality, which is much more about unity and
mm-hmm.
Non-oppositional ways of doing things. And I think that they're so different that the worlds are separating.
Mm-hmm.
That the new one is going to gain power and almost like draw energy out of the old one and get stronger and more predominant. And the old one will fade down and seem more and more antiquated and prehistoric and inefficient,
mm-hmm.
and the methods it's been using just won't work anymore. And the people who are adhering to that are, you know, very, I would say, ultra-conservative, perhaps, who don't want change, who want to preserve
mm-hmm.
power structures, they will lose credibility, I believe, gradually.
Mm-hmm.
But there's going to be an ego death fight to try to preserve that old way. The ego doesn't want to die, you know?
And it also seems that, like, sometimes when a child comes in and is experiencing something very extreme, say the parents are abusive or something like that,
mm-hmm.
Then the child decides that it will not be at all abusive to its own children. You know, it
mm-hmm.
throws it to the other extreme because
mm-hmm.
of a bad experience with the one. And so maybe the experience we're having now with the government is to throw us more into the cooperative and, you know, the away from this conflict.
Yes.
Maybe we'll choose differently. We'll choose different politicians when we go to the, you know, when we go to vote.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's possible that you know, things got so bad that we will say no. We know that this doesn't work, so we have to choose the opposite.
Yes. Yes. And the. It's like it's, I don't know if the right word is collusion, but the feeling of that they're able to spin a sort of smokescreen around their behavior and justify it in noble terms, and
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of illusion based in that underneath the surface, that will start to be seen. You
mm-hmm.
know, things are becoming more transparent now. People are becoming
yeah.
more transparent. The more you get rid of fear, the clearer you are, the more
mm-hmm.
the soul can come through and the spiritual reality can become this reality where things work
yeah.
according to these new principles. And that's going to be the new norm. I don't know how long it's going to take, but things are happening
yeah, right.
in the present moment now, so it
yeah.
could be quite fast.
Well, I
you know,
think also
like,
that this whole thing about this energy that's coming in, you know, this energy is probably life force energy. I mean, more than anything,
yeah.
when this energy comes in on a cyclical frequency, speciation increases. So every,
mm-hmm.
I guess it's every 29,000 years or something like that, the species go crazy. So a lot of species go extinct, but other new species come up. So I'm
mm-hmm.
beginning to think that what's driving this this shift that we're in is direct life force energy. And I know that they're having a meeting in Las Vegas on this frequency of life. So,
mm-hmm.
and it's being attended by traditional scientists and a lot of people exploring this idea that this energy that is coming from the galactic center through the sun into not just Earth but all of the planets is something that is going to be pushing a lot of the negativity and fear out of all of the systems.
Yes. I've had dreams about that, so I think you're absolutely right on this one. That it's almost like things are becoming eclipsed. It's like the
mm-hmm.
reality jumps above the previous one and then absorbs the previous one into it.
Right.
Because there's nowhere to get rid of anything, but there is transformation. Yeah.
So that becomes like miracles. I mean, that's the energy of miracles. Because miracles come from a system that we don't understand. That's why we think they're miracles. They're probably just a higher science that we haven't figured out yet.
Because we're stuck in cause and effect thinking and think it has to take a lot of time for something to happen. That it's gradual.
And it doesn't.
But in the new perception, it's immediate.
Right.
And what's immediate is if you go into the imaginal realm, the non-physical reality and the physical reality are merging, or they're already merged, but we're just seeing that they're already merged and that they affect each other instantly in the moment. So if you go to the non-physical reality, you know, close your eyes, go into meditation, and imagine a reality that you want, and they're all there, possibly any world theory, you know, they're all there. You want a healthy body? Okay, go in and create that healthy body in a feeling sense, with tactile, you know, all the senses in gear. And do it in the imaginal realm, and like a living movie, put yourself into it, get in there and live it, and stay in it just with your attention on it. You don't even have to have intention anymore, because that's willpower. Just attention.
Right.
Be with it. Be with it, lovingly. Pretty soon, it just drops down in frequency and comes into your personal reality, and there you have it. And it's faster and faster. So, you know, changing an inner blueprint of a reality is a very effective thing now. You can look at an outer reality and say, well, it's not really functioning very well. Why is that? But then you go into the inner world and say, oh, well, the inner reality has changed enough that the outer isn't working to match it anymore. We've got a mismatch. So let's make sure we get in touch with the inner and model it, and then allow the outer to have its freedom to shift. Because oftentimes I think the left brain holds the world of form in place out of stubbornness, you know. And as soon as you say, okay, whatever needs to happen can happen. I let go. I'm in faith. Let the inner come through. Let it come forth and change the way things are so that the inner and outer match perfectly. And then you've got harmony. And if you live that way, where you allow, where you sense the mismatch, you know, when the outer reality starts to feel like it's stuck, and you go to the inner and say, why, what's changed here? Oh, okay, so I need to just let go and let the outer just reshuffle, you know, and change its form. Well, then you get a lot of smooth change, not struggle anymore.
Well, yeah, that's a really good way to describe it. So the one of the things that you can tell when the inner and the outer are not in alignment is just your discomfort with something in the outer. Is that right? Is something that bothers you?
That's right, and you'll notice it right away. Something's off. So there's a snag.
Right.
And so, okay, I'm noticing it's not materializing in a smooth way. So where is the lack? One thing I noticed, I've been house hunting here in Florida, and I would find a place, and then it wouldn't go through, and find another place, it was a glitch. And I think, what is going on? And I sat down and asked, and what I got was that I had not really experienced all the help that had been given to me on my drive across country and my, you know, leaving. It was very rushed, like I was shot out of a cannon, and I had a million things to think about. So I stopped and I went back and I reviewed it like in slow motion, every phase of my trip, and every single person who was there to help me pack or let me stay at their house or the gas station attendants, you know.
Yeah, right.
And I made a list. It was like 150 names on there.
Oh my goodness.
People that I hadn't really acknowledged, or what was, I hadn't really received their help
the
way down to myself. And so I did it, and I thanked everyone, and I got it. And I went into a state at that point that was like, it said it was a positive neutrality, not negative neutrality, which is apathy and I don't care. It was like, I have been taken care of so well that I don't even care what happens next because it'll be just right. And as soon as I did that, a house that was blocked came back open again, and it's now flowing.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
and that
great.
Was the missing piece.
Right.
So you never know what it is, but
you need to
ask. It's often just states of energy. Yeah.
Right. Right. That's true. Well, this reminds me of your book where you say you were a little off center. You know, you were the trip and everything had kind of pushed you a little to the side, and then what you did was just center yourself.
Right. And I brought myself back into the full present moment by receiving everything that had been given, which was sitting there sort of in the sidelines waiting to be felt, and it wouldn't go forward until I'd received it all, you know?
Yeah, yeah, interesting.
Yeah, it was like I was living a kind of a partial reality or something. So, yeah, it's so interesting. I mean, energy and the way it works and the way it affects reality.
Yeah.
It is metaphysics.
Well, multiple dimensions, too. I think a lot of what we instinctually fear and makes us nervous and uncomfortable, if we really realized the multidimensional reality we live in, we would be able to let go of all of those fears. I mean, they just they're just mistakes. They're not true.
Yeah.
And
part of that is, you know, that in those non-physical dimensions, there are a lot of beings. We don't normally see them or think about them, but there are people who are dead who are just kind of in between lives, and they're not really dead. Mm-hmm. They're just sitting there at a higher frequency, and there's tons of beings, and the ones who are in the body, and that there's a lot of help because everyone's so interconnected.
Oh, yeah.
That if I help you, it's what you need. You help me, it's what I need. Then I can help you to do your next thing. Everything is so synchromesh that there is no such thing really as anyone working against you, because it wouldn't work.
Yeah, we've had a lot of information lately. We have a meditation group that meets weekly or even up to three times a week sometimes. Since 1990, so obviously we've been meeting for a long time. And lately, there's been a lot of non-physical beings that have been coming in with a desire to help. And it's just, and I've been remembering what they're saying in my daily life and then asking for help. Whereas before,
that's
I really
important.
Didn't do that because, you know, I was just living in the third dimensional world here, you know, just kind of in my linear perception. But I think it's interesting that they're actually stepping up the help. And I think it's because we're going through this process where we're going to be kind of thrust into a perceptual reality shift at maybe a fairly rapid rate within the next few years. And I think they're instructed to help. I think this is, you know, this is where we get people ready to help when we need the help. You know, those 150 people that helped you were because you needed the help, you know. I mean, a different
it's
week
so, I,
in your life,
so,
you might have only needed help from five people, you know.
And there's something, too, about I become more aware when I ask for help that it's actually, that everybody just wants to co-create together.
Mm-hmm.
That on that higher level, it's fun. What do you do with freedom when you're at a higher level? You serve.
Mm-hmm.
You co-create.
Right.
That's the fun thing.
Yeah.
And if you have a lot of freedom and you don't do that, then you're isolated and you're not really part of the flow. And so part of it is I say to people, okay, everybody, let's go drive my car. Okay, let's write a book together.
Mm-hmm.
How about, I don't say I need help writing a book. I say, hey, everybody, let's do this.
Right.
Let's go buy a house, you know, and and which one do we want me to have? You know, which how do we want me to do it? And then I just, you know, because I think it's all about fun. And more and more I've been sensing that the idea of pleasure is extremely important anymore. It's not about escapism. Pleasure is about engagement with the flow, with the surprise, with the co-creation, and it's just the motive for life, I think. You know, and we think it's something else. You know, that it's the antithesis of work or something. And
right.
It's not. It's the whole thing.
Yeah.
It, the more we can stay in pleasure or entertaining ourselves,
mm-hmm.
you know, that everything we do could be an entertainment, boy, that would change things, you know.
That's kind of how I run my life, though. It's,
mm-hmm.
I mean,
well,
it really is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I do those things that I'm interested in doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, if I see a patient and I really don't want to do the surgery for them, they just simply don't sign up for it.
Uh-huh. Right. So you don't have to go through the whole...
So I don't have to... Yeah,
acting
I don't
out
have to
it.
Do the surgery
yeah.
I don't want to do. And I don't
mm-hmm.
tell them I'm not going to do it. You know, I don't...
Mm-hmm.
It's not like that. It's just that, you know, I think that if... And if there's something I really want to do, then five people show up with the same problem, you know, so I can practice doing it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of, mm-hmm. but I see that in surgery. And it, the other thing, and I'm sure this is true in your life too, if you can't see something, if you can't see yourself doing something, it's not going to happen. Like
yes.
something in the
yes.
future that you look at like, you know, anything from jury duty to, you know, whatever. If you can't see that happening, then it doesn't materialize. It'll mysteriously disappear.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we're talking a little bit here about how to materialize things and dematerialize things.
And dematerialize them, right.
Yes.
Yeah.
There, that's just as important. When it's time to move on,
mm-hmm.
simply pull attention out of whatever it was that you've been paying
right.
attention to. Because here's the thing about attention, which is why I wrote this book, really. Is
right, yeah.
I think it's going to be the most powerful force in
mm-hmm.
the intuition age. The way we do everything is going to be through putting attention on and in
yeah.
things and taking attention out
mm-hmm.
of things.
Right.
And when you pull the plug of attention out of something and don't resist
mm-hmm.
it, you just get bored
right.
with it. You just
mm-hmm.
let it go
right.
And you put your attention in what you want, then the other thing fades back into the
mm-hmm.
field, and it dematerializes. There's nowhere for it to go. You can't get rid of anything. But
mm-hmm.
it can turn back into energy.
Right.
And it unclumps, you know, from its form into the field again. And
right.
that's what we do here. We bring things into form and out of form
mm-hmm.
and into form and out of form. And I think that's going to become a principle, like with illness. You might just
mm-hmm.
be able to unclump it, you know, and get it out, just dissolve it.
You know, we've been doing a little bit of investigation about that, and I really believe you're onto something with that concept. First of all, in your book, you say it's important to become aware of things, like to become aware that you're bored with something is critically
mm-hmm.
important, because a lot
yeah.
of people do not have the awareness of their internal states. They really
right.
don't. They don't pay attention to them. But once you realize that you're bored with something, then you can start to withdraw attention from that segment of your life.
That's right. And that's why I call it
project
notice
it
what
onto
noticing.
Another one. Right, right.
Yes. Notice what
yeah.
you're noticing, because you are noticing things often at an energetic level, what might be called subliminal.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start noticing what you're noticing, it becomes conscious.
Right.
You know, now
that's
then
right.
you can take action. You can ask what's the next right action
mm-hmm.
to take, you know.
Right.
And you're so right about that we waste a lot of time and energy in not noticing things
mm-hmm.
soon enough.
Well, and then the proverbial 2x4 comes and you have an illness or an accident or, you
right.
know, bankruptcy or your spouse ask for a divorce, you know, and that's really the way we were living in the previous world. Things would get more and more and more out of sync, and then finally, bam, something major would
yeah.
happen, but it was
yeah.
painful, you know. I mean,
yeah.
you had to resort to pain to really change.
Yes.
And I'm hoping that that's going to, you know, that's going to shift
yes.
into something less painful.
But there's also that sort of, like, we like to fool ourselves and feign innocence and feign
mm-hmm.
ignorance, you know, like, oh,
right.
why
yeah.
did that happen to me?
Yeah,
you know,
I'm a victim.
I'm just an innocent victim here, yeah.
Right.
When really the signs were there all along.
Yeah,
and
they
you
were.
Weren't listening. And
yeah,
the sooner
true.
You pick up on things, the less distortion there is, and the easier
mm-hmm.
the flows, the changes of the flow can be.
Yeah, I was telling them this in surgery yesterday, that there are very few accidents. Edgar Cayce said every once in a while there's an accident, but in general there's very, very few accidents. And that the accident that someone has, like my technician's son injured his ankle, and I said, well, that's because he doesn't feel supported. You know, he's in a situation where his biological father is not supporting him financially. So basically, you know, he doesn't feel supported, so he injures his ankle in football. And we were going on saying, well, if he doesn't listen, then he's going to injure his knee, because his knee is not listening to his higher self, you know. So we go on and we talked about all the different injuries all over the body and what they mean. And so I tell my patients, I'm a trauma surgeon too, and I tell my patients who come in, look, you injured your index finger. That means faith. There's some faith issue that you're not. And then most of my patients, of course, know exactly what it is because they're fairly tuned in. And I said, look, if you don't resolve this, you're going to re-injure it. So, you know, come on, let's go work on that in meditation, or do whatever you need to do in your life to get that faith thing, you know, to the forefront. And it's just really amazing at how much we have right in front of us about the things we're working on. We just need to pay attention, like you say.
Yes. There are so many things. Like, I have a friend with Lyme disease that's gotten pretty severe, and it came to me that his family background was from a very, very not so much abusive, but kind of a dominating, you know, kind of parents and family, where the children had no say, and he was used to being dominated and invaded by everybody else's ideas, and that the Lyme bacteria was a physicalization of that early pattern, that if he could get clear of the family issues, then he could start to clear the bacteria vibration out of his body. You know, and there's always something like that that holds an illness in place, I think, you know,
I think there is. And like you said in your book, the person who has the illness is vibrating at a certain rate. And if they can raise their vibratory rate higher, then they can just, you know, the illness will just slough off.
Yeah.
And I think that's very true. I mean, we see that in spontaneous remission with cancer and other miraculous things that occur that are really a shift, a gigantic shift in frequency of the individual. And sometimes if it's sudden, then the spontaneous remission is very sudden. If it's more gradual, it's more gradual.
Yes.
But it can be within minutes, which is, I had a patient in my office with cancer, and I think there were 40 healers in the room that came over from the local church, and we witnessed a spontaneous remission because 40 healers were sending energy into the patient. So that worked well.
I worked with a healer in California for years who was an engineer who had developed a kind of a dousing process where he would read the vibration of different organs, different illnesses. He had numbers attached to everything. It's kind of like radionics, I guess.
Yeah.
But he realized that the vibration of the immune system was at a certain level, and the vibration of cancer was at a higher frequency.
Mm-hmm.
So what he did was add energy into the immune system until it raised its vibration above that of the cancer, cancer would disappear.
Yeah. Well, that's
almost every time.
That actually is very accurate. The systems that measure energy say that cancer cannot exist in a person who has a vibrational level above a certain point. And and it's interesting that many cancer patients say they never get sick with any viruses or flus or anything. And that may be because of the lack of response to foreign invaders, and then the cancer can invade, and you know, there's nothing they can do about it. There's no fighting of the immune system. If you think about it, when you get deathly ill from flu, it's not because of the flu virus, it's because of your body's response to the flu virus. You see? The fever, the lungs filling up with fluid, all of that is not due to the flu virus. It's due to the cytokine response. And so young people, young healthy people are more likely to die from the flu than older, immune-compromised 80-year-olds. They don't die from the flu.
Interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is. So it's the body's response to it. So these people don't respond to invaders. So when cancer invades, they don't fight it off. Whereas you and I, when cancer invades, we fight it off, you know. It's interesting.
Well, it's exciting that, that medicine and healthcare, just the thought of how it might transform with the new perception, you know, it's just incredibly exciting. That, you know, and plus, you know, if we're receiving that much more life force, which I do think you're right about that, then we're going to start living an awfully long time, too. You know, we're, the life spans are going to increase way over 100 years.
Yeah.
You know, and that's going to have to change everything, too, because, you know, we'll stay younger longer. It won't be like a prolonged period of old age. It'll be active age, you know, in those years.
Right. Right,
and I think that's starting to happen already.
I think it is too. I think that people are noticing wrinkles going away, and you know, not as a normal aging process in the last few years. I think I think many people have noticed that. So, plastic surgery may be a thing of the past, huh? For certain kinds of plastic surgery,
that would be interesting, wouldn't it?
There's plenty of other stuff for us to do. Don't worry.
Yeah, exactly.
But it could be. It could be. No, I don't think we really realize all the benefits. Certainly, the non-physical beings that are communicating to us are very excited about what's coming up. Compared to we've got this whole big fear thing on Earth, the survivalist and the you know, people that think that Earth is going to go through a destruction phase, which may happen. I mean, you know, it certainly might be cyclical. We don't know. Versus the information we're getting from the non-physical realm, which is that we're about to be liberated from a whole bunch of stuff that isn't really good for us. You know, all the suffering and the starvation and the, you know, the all the negative things that are rampant on
and
the planet.
And I think that's partly due to the younger people, the new soul groups that are incarnating, because they are, I think, have been very accustomed to being kind of incarnated, if you could call it that, in the mental plane, where they're so much used to being in a group mind. And where things happen very fast, there's no time really, there's a lot of telepathy. And so then they come into the body and they're still working that way. They like to be in groups. They're going to function according to group mind. So if they get together as a brain trust, say, you know, and merge themselves, they will be able to bring through inventions and new technologies and things that are just sitting there waiting, but they can't be gotten by one person alone.
That's true, yeah.
So they're going to bring them through. And I think I've often seen this of groups of children inventing things, you know, and I think that's going to be more and more the case.
And, yeah, we were told in meditation that we don't really have to worry too much about, you know, the radiation and the air pollution, water pollution, the, you know, the all the different things that the mistakes we've made, you know, the dumping of nuclear waste at the bottom of the ocean, and now those barrels are coming apart, you know, that kind of thing, the things that weren't really good ideas, because the solution to these problems can be brought in through the new children, which, like you said, that's what they said could be done. So
the solutions
are there, so don't worry about it. You know, they'll be brought in.
That's right.
It'll
they
be
are,
fixed.
And the kids will help us too. You know, if we can. You know, really work with them, and I think the amount of autistic kids that have come in now are very high beings that are extremely sensitive to violence and the chaos of this change of perception that's happening right now. But they're here to ground the higher vibration in the planet, but they're waiting in limbo, sort of. They're just hanging out, and doing whatever they do in their inner world. And then as we get adjusted and our consciousness higher, they'll be more the norm. You know, that kind of direct connection and consciousness that they have, we'll start to understand it. But, you know, when we think about all this, our education system is sort of rooted in the industrial age. It's so old.
It's just not working. Right.
It's not working.
Well, Penny, we're coming up to the end of our hour. Would you like to give your contact information?
Sure. Yeah. I'm always available through my website, which is just my name, pennypierce.com. And it's spelled a little oddly. It's P-E-N-N-E-Y. And then Pierce is P-E-I. RCE, so pennypierce.com. I'm going to be up in New England area next week, I guess, be at Kripalu, and then I'm going to Boston and then Baltimore. So I'll be working up there for 3 weeks.
Oh, great.
And getting settled here in Florida.
Great. Well, would you like to give a closing comment to our listeners?
Sure. Yeah, no, I think that The key thing right now is get a clear sense of when you're in the old perception and when you're contracted and kind of in a negative feeling state, and then get a clear sense of what the other one feels like when you're in your home frequency or when you're in your preferred state, and realize that you have free will, you have choice, and this is the big choice you have, is to shift out of the negative one as soon as you notice it and recreate the one you like. Because it's up to you. Nobody's going to do it for you. Nobody, you know, they can't make it easier for you. You just have to do it. And as soon as you do and you stabilize it, your life will change dramatically and very quickly. So that's like a first big step.
And I would also like to add that this is the third book in Penny's transformational trilogy. The first two are The Intuitive Way and Frequency. And I think that if you go back to the archives of Temple of Health, you can listen to the Frequency interview that we did probably about a year ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's important to know this is part of a trilogy. Well, Penny, thank you so much for joining us, and best of luck finding your house in Florida. And
thank you.
Getting everything settled down there. I know that it's a lot of work to move. So, well, great.
Yeah.
Hopefully,
it was fun talking to you, Susan. I always enjoy it. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you so much. This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health. We've been interviewing Penny Pierce. Leap of Perception, and join us next week. Thank you very much.